Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a good day. What's going on?
I'm trying to pull it back. I'm trying to pull it back together.
Yeah, please do.
I'm working on it.
You got 2 hours left, pal.
I'm not making any promises, but I'm going to try to regroup. Whew. That one got me going there for a while.
Did the dove boat get you?
Just each one, the Long John, the Long John Silver Spoon got me.
What about
that? Was the last one
Deadliest Stench?
Oh. Okay, we need to stop.
That's fantastic, and it's not even in the top five.
No, if you expect me to get through a hot five at five, we need to stop this.
I don't know if Rob wants you to. I think he wants to see how long you can keep hysterically laughing.
All right. Coming up, we've got Ryan Tannehill talk. Got some Friday randoms, which includes the death of the American 7-footer in the NBA.
Oh.
Yeah. Dying.
I didn't really think about that, but yeah, I'm trying to win the last time. Is that Colin 7 feet? I think he's 6'11".
Well, there's a difference between listed 7 feet and actual 7 feet.
True. Well, that's what we were talking to Landon Lucas, and he was like, yeah, anything, the program height and bare feet. Yeah, it's, you're usually inflated by 2 inches or so.
We'll have the club from 6 to 7. It's going to be a grab bag tonight.
A potpourri, if you will.
There is something making a comeback that we need to talk about. But right now, I think we're ready to roll with the... Oh, you know, there was one other thing, too. We didn't get to this yesterday. But rules changes in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because we talked about that they were playing around with the Atlantic League they're going to do, which is an independent league. They're going to implement a bunch of kind of radical rule changes, but one of them actually made its way into the major leagues.
So we'll get to that coming up. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Developers.
Number 5.
Well, Tiger Woods pulled to within 2 shots of the lead today in round 2 at the Players' Championship, but he put 2 in the drink on the par 3 17th, the Island Green.
Yeah, didn't he take a 7 on the hole?
He took a 7 on the hole, which is just his second quadruple bogey on a par 3 in his PGA Tour career. So quite rare. He still finished 1 under. He shot a 71. He is 3 under for the tournament, which puts him in the top 50. Your leaders right now are Tommy Fleetwood and Rory McIlroy. They are 12 under par, and they have a 3-shot lead on Jim Furyk, who shot the round of the day. He shot a 64, the old man did.
Ooh. How old is Jim Furyk?
48.
All right, well, that's not that old. He just looks old. His weird 5-hour energy cap.
Ian Poulter also there at 9 under. If we scroll all the way down, make you feel a little bit better about your game, we had 3 guys, 2 guys withdraw, and Wyndham Clark got DQ'd. Alfie Barnrett, you know the big fat guy?
Yeah.
He shot 69 today, but he's still in last place because yesterday he shot 84.
Where do you go from it? He shot 69 today?
Yeah.
Bit of a turnaround there.
So he was 1 under after 2 holes yesterday and shot 84.
Good Lord. Weird.
New Philadelphia Philly Bryce Harper was hit in the foot by a 96-mile-per-hour fastball today at spring training.
Yeah, looked bad when he went down. Of course, he had the grimace and pain and rolling around. But I guess they're saying it's not a big deal. Nothing was broken.
Well, yeah, they had to take x-rays. He left the game. They had to take x-rays on it, and initial x-rays are negative. The Mariners open the season. Believe it or not, they open the season against the A's in Japan next week.
Ichiro, right? Going to be in the starting lineup?
There are two games, Wednesday and Thursday, and they will begin at 2:30 a.m. our time.
You know, wake up to watch hot Mariner, well, I guess regular season baseball.
Which is,
it's always weird. I hate that they do that. It's not opening day.
It's not. It's definitely not opening day.
No.
Which is March 28th.
Yes.
But they do count. They're regular season games.
Number three.
The Blazers about to get underway against the Pelicans in New Orleans tonight. The Pellies will not have Anthony Davis, Jrue Holiday, or Etan Moore.
And they're actively not trying to win games. So one would think the Blazers win tonight.
Yeah, Damian Lillard needs just 3 points to pass LaMarcus Aldridge for second on the Blazers' all-time points list. Now, the Blazers did get some help last night when the Pacers beat the Thunder. So if the Blazers win tonight, it would put them in a brief tie with Houston for the three spot, but the Rockets have an easy one. They host the Suns later. Chris Paul will not play in that game. They're going to rest him.
Yeah, so what, they're half a game back of Houston?
Yep, half a game back right now, but right in the battle for the three seed, and that's what you want, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're trying to get, because if you get the three seed, then, you know, you get potential lineups. You got maybe Utah, San Antonio, or the Clippers, and that makes you feel a lot better about the first round matchup as opposed to Oklahoma City or Houston.
Number two. Final four of the Pac-12 tournament tonight in Vegas. Game one will be Colorado and UW. Washington won both meetings of the regular season. And then tonight on The Fan at about 8, Oregon will play Arizona State. The Ducks have suddenly won 6 straight. They beat Utah last night. And Arizona State needs this game because they're on the bubble.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting which Oregon team shows up first half against Utah, second half against Utah. Second half, they look great. That first half was one of the ugliest college basketball games you will ever see.
Welcome to the Pac-12.
That thing was horrific. And Utah, who was the top three-point shooting team in the conference at one point, was 2 of 23 from behind the arc. What the hell was that?
Number 6, Michigan State beat Ohio State today 77-70. In the SEC, Florida upset number 9, LSU 76-73. Halftime right now, Florida State leads number 2, Virginia 35-31.
Is there a big-time team in college basketball that you trust less than Virginia at this point? They're the new Kansas. Come too far
together. Stop me. First of all, take it easy.
Let's do it.
It's true.
Virginia's really good this year, though.
Yeah.
I think Virginia might win it.
Yeah, watch them get bounced in the second round. Last year, they lost in the first round. First time ever. What? 16-1.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about
Virginia
that.
Has,
but this year, they can shoot the ball.
Virginia has had a horrible
but I'm
habit
telling you,
of getting bounced.
I'm telling you, so Duke can't shoot. Duke's the favorite, but they don't shoot very well, man.
Duke's like 330th in
three-point
percentage.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
It's ugly.
So that might come back to bite them. And then, I don't know, what do you think? North Carolina? I don't know. It's wide open. That's what I'm saying, Abe. Watch out for Virginia.
Was it North Carolina? Is North Carolina Duke tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just getting to that. Zion Williamson is back for the Devils. Number 5, Duke. Number 3, Carolina. Round 3 tonight in the ACC tournament in Charlotte. The Heels won the previous 2 meetings.
Okay. Zion didn't play in either one of those. He didn't play in the second one at all. In the first one, he was out in 30 seconds when he blew out his shoe.
And number 1, NFL stuff, we've got several things to tell you. First of all, the Browns, you know, they signed running back Kareem Hunt, and they didn't know how long he'd be suspended by the NFL. Today, they found out he will be suspended 8 games.
He should feel pretty good about that because there's video of him. Ezekiel Elliott got 6, and there was no evidence, including the investigator saying that he didn't think he did it, or she didn't think he did it.
Yeah, Hunt's the guy who's on the hotel footage assaulting the woman and kicking her. So he gets 8 games for that. He will not appeal. Meanwhile, Chiefs receiver Tyreek Hill is now under investigation for alleged battery.
Yeah, so there was a police report filed early in March where him and his fiance, and this is the same gal that he pled guilty to choking and hitting in college when he got kicked out of Oklahoma State. So they had that kid. They're engaged. So there was an early report filed in March, and he was a person of interest. And that report apparently has been labeled cleared, and they're not going to prosecute it. And then another report was filed later in March, I think March 14th or on that one. And that is, I guess, still an ongoing investigation, and it involves a domestic violence incident where their young son broke his arm. And I guess he's not named as a suspect, but a person of interest. So not a lot of details right now. Both the police and Kansas City still investigating.
And the other bit of NFL news today is that the Miami Dolphins traded quarterback Ryan Tannehill to the Tennessee Titans. And Tennessee gives up a fourth-round pick in 2020 and a seventh-round pick this year. There's more to that, which we will get into coming up next. Move over, Marcus Mariano.
And a Colin Kaepernick angle to this as well.
So we'll get into that when we return. The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. It is 5:12. This is The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Friday Randoms wraps up the hour beginning at, 5:30 or so. And we will talk about the odds on Tiger Woods winning another major as part of it. But Ryan Tannehill traded. Miami Dolphins clearly tanking because they don't have a quarterback.
No, so this leaves them. So they tried to go after Teddy Bridgewater, didn't get it. He stayed in New Orleans. So this leaves them with Luke Falk and Jake Ruddick.
Who's Jake Ruddick?
I think he was the crappy quarterback at Michigan.
Oh.
And that's it. Luke Falk. So they need a quarterback. So whether they draft one or you know what, Osweiler's still out there, Fitzmagic, Blake Bortles is around, but.
Oh, Fitzmagic.
The interesting name is Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, he's out there.
So Kaepernick wants an opportunity to come in. He said that now that the collusion lawsuit is settled, that he wants to play again. They say he's working out. Who is the CBS sports guy? La Canfora had this and said that I guess Kaepernick's been working out. He wants another shot and he's looking for a place where he can start. And there you go. Miami Dolphins.
And guys want to play in Miami.
Yeah.
Remember we just did that yesterday.
Yeah.
Or was that yesterday? Whenever we did that, the agents say that Miami is one of the most coveted places because, well, weather and girls.
Yeah.
But, I feel like Kaepernick wanted to play all along. Like, why this narrative now that, oh, now he wants to play? He's always wanted to play.
He's always wanted to play, but there was the thing that until that lawsuit was settled, more than likely that wasn't going to happen. But now that that's out of the way, a lot of people think that it could clear him to maybe take another crack at this. And
well, wouldn't that make them too good?
I suppose. I mean, if you are...
They're tanking.
It appears that way.
Miami's
tanking. So... You know, you're looking at a good quarterback coming up, a good quarterback class the next 2 years. So we'll see. But there was the report today that Kaepernick is very interested in the Miami job. And you'll know if the Dolphins are really tanking. If they don't get Kaepernick and you re-sign Brock Osweiler or you go with Luke Falk.
Well, why did they trade Tannehill?
Well,
I mean, they're obviously tanking.
But they're just moving on from him. I mean, he wasn't figuring into their long-term plans. I think it's interesting that he ended up in Tennessee because you've got Mariota, but this is his last year. This is the final year of his contract. And their GM today came out and said that they're planning on a push. They want Tannehill to push him and to motivate him, which I think is interesting that you bring him in. I know that he's had injury problems. I'm talking about Marcus staying healthy. I just thought that was interesting language to talk about pushing and motivating Marcus in the final year of his deal. What more motivation do you need? You're either going to get paid or not at the end of the season.
Well, do you think they know if they're going to lock up Mariota or not?
I
don't know if they know that.
I don't think they do. I think this is a really, really important year for him. Obviously, they picked up the fifth-year option, and this is going to be an expensive one. His salary jumps up, as everyone does in that final year. But if he goes out and has another injury plague season or there's further regression or he just kind of stays in that middle of the road, they may re-sign him, but it's not going to be for big time starting quarterback money.
So on the Tannehill note, I am maybe just off my rocker here, which is likely, but he's now like, I don't know. What am I trying to say? It feels like he's overnight become a backup afterthought type guy, and I don't really know when that happened. Like, I still feel like he's a starter.
Really?
Yeah. And like I said, I may be off my rocker. I also thought he was under contract in Miami. But
he is under contract in Miami.
Well, but he restructured it.
Yeah.
So, but he's only making $7 million. So he restructured, in order to make this trade happen, he had to restructure his deal, and they're giving him a year, $7
million. Yeah. I mean, it's
I feel like,
well, he's a backup.
Well, I guess so, but I mean,
that's backup money.
Understood. But I'm just saying that I feel like it wasn't long ago Tannehill was getting an extension in Miami, and he was making 15, 16, 17 million bucks a year.
Yeah.
And he was their guy.
Yeah.
So it's just weird. How is it just been injuries? Did I miss something?
I just think that
they're just moving on because
this is kind of.
So Tannehill is a starting quarterback. Like I feel like even though Robinson, who's the GM of the Titans, said that Tannehill will be the backup.
Yes.
I don't know. I think there's something more to that. Like you were just saying about, you know, maybe Tannehill can be the guy for us if Mariota doesn't work out.
I just think he's more of a bridge, because I think if Marcus doesn't work out there, then obviously you're going to go down the road of you got to draft a quarterback. And I think at that point, Tannehill is the bridge that you can re-sign him. And I think that there's durability concerns with Marcus. He had the nerve issue last year and missed a lot of time. And Tannehill's a guy that, as far as backup quarterbacks go, that you can throw in there. But, you know, he's not a young guy. I mean, he's 30 years old.
Yeah, and that was surprising to me, too. I don't know. Maybe I'm out to lunch on Tannehill. I was looking at his salary, his earnings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he earned, just by annual salary, he's only had 1 year where he made, really, well, two seasons where he made any money.
Yeah, because he had his rookie deal.
His rookie deal, he didn't make anything, but he got the signing bonus.
Yep.
Of, like, looked like about $19
million. Mm-hmm.
But then he signs that contract with Miami. 2016, he made 9.3. And then 2017, that's where the year he made money. He made $18 million. And now he's back to, what, a base under $1 million? And they restructured him at $16.5 million.
Yep. So he's
does that mean that they just paid him $16.5 million to
basically go away?
Yeah, because Miami saves like $33 million over the next two seasons.
They owed him a bunch of money, but it was a contract that they could get out of, and that's exactly what they did by trading him. They signed him to an extension, but it was one of those. Andy Dalton signed one of these. We've seen a lot of the kind of the middle-of-the-road quarterbacks sign these. Alex Smith had one when he was in Kansas City when he first got there. It's like, we'll give you some money, but you're basically playing on a year-to-year contract, right? Yeah. It's like, we give it to you, but after a year or two, we can get out of this. And clearly, they got out of it. And you look at his numbers, he's not a bad quarterback, but he's just middle of the road. I mean, you look through
Hasn't he been hurt a lot, though?
No, I don't. I think he missed the 1 year in 2017. I think he had an ACL tear. And then last year, he missed four or five games. So he's had two seasons, but before that, he was pretty durable. But he's been a guy that'll put up, you know, 20 touchdowns and 12 to 14 interceptions. He's just middle of the road, half starting, half backup quarterback. He's good. In a couple years, he'll be Ryan Fitzpatrick. He'll be good enough, but he's never going to lead you to the promised land. He's just a guy that's a stopgap.
I'm stubborn, though. And I think there's more to Ryan Tannehill, depending on what coach and, you know, what OC he gets.
It's possible he could have a career resurgence. I mean, I'm looking through if you're going to go off his, like, his passer rating. He's had some years where he's in the 90s, and he's had some years where he's been in the mid-80s.
Who's the best coach he's played for there?
I'm trying to think of who he's had there in Miami.
I feel like they've been a mess.
He's had Gase. I'm trying to remember. He had an interim guy. Was he around for the Sperano days? I'm not sure who all his coaches have been in Miami.
All right. Well, anyway, what is it? A fourth in 2020 and then a seventh this year is what Tennessee gave up to get Tannehill.
Oh, that's right. They've got Joe Philbin was the guy
Joe
in between
Philbin.
That. Philbin. Yeah. Mr. Personality himself.
There's my point.
Yeah. Look, he's not bad. As far as backup quarterbacks go,
that's one of the best, if not the best backups in the league.
Yes.
Right there.
I think this is now the best
backup.
Give me
a better backup quarterback than him.
It was Nick Foles probably, and now you've got Ryan Tannehill.
Bridgewater. He's better than Bridgewater, right?
Yeah, he's better than Bridgewater. Honestly, I think he's better than Andy Dalton. I'd rather have him as a starting quarterback than Andy Dalton.
Again, and he's got a hot wife.
Yeah, he's got a smoking hot wife. If you can have him healthy, which he hasn't been in the last 2 years, if you can have him healthy and on an elite team, I think you could win with Ryan Tannehill. But he's not a guy that you're going to say is the franchise quarterback that you can pay $20 million to and lead your team.
Well, we'll see what happens there. That's interesting.
And people saying Moore, Anderson, Mannion. No.
Wait,
Tannehill
what?
Is much better than all three of those guys.
Then who?
They Matt Moore. They went Derek Anderson. People are saying Sean Mannion.
Oh, the Oregon State guys?
Yeah. Tannehill is way better than those.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Like, Oregon State kids?
You said name a better backup quarterback, and I think people just threw that out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's better than all three of those guys.
Yeah.
Probably combined.
Well, and this is a good one, too. Tannehill is the exact personification of the Dolphins. When you asked me last year, I said I thought the Dolphins were good. I thought they were in the playoff mix. I think they're just they're a decent team, not bad, not great, and I think that's Ryan Tannehill.
All right, well, he's going to Tennessee. Very interesting. Maybe Mariota be on the move in a year.
Well, I think it's a big year for him. And I think Tennessee probably keeps him either way as long as he stays healthy. But he is going to make or lose himself a lot of money on that next contract based on how he plays. And the fact that they haven't re-signed him, I think, is really telling there in Tennessee. And the fact that they traded for Ryan Tannehill should be a huge indicator that Tennessee is not certain of what Marcus is bringing to the table right now.
All right. Friday randoms next. The death of the American 7-footer in the NBA and odds on Tiger winning another major. It is 5:30. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Friday randoms commences now, which means we're about out of here for the week.
Do enjoy Friday randoms.
Well, college football's attempt to steal some shine from March Madness is they always release the over-under win totals right around this time.
Sure.
So I have from Bet Online, I have the Oregon, Washington, and Washington State over-under win totals here for you.
Okay.
And not the Beavers, because apparently the Beavers are too bad to qualify for this list.
Well, you would just take the under. Until they prove otherwise, just take the under.
Maybe the Beavs will be a hot play this year, like be a sexy up-and-coming pick.
We'll see.
Go Beavers! How about that?
Not going to go ahead.
Yeah, how about that?
Count my chickens on that one, but they did get better. I thought they looked better at times last year.
Got a bunch of transfers.
All
those guys.
Well, Luton's back, and he's going to battle the kid from the Nebraska transfer. I just think ultimately you're going to have to find some better athletes on defense. Offensively, I thought at times, especially early in the season with running the ball, they looked good.
Right. UW 10.
I'd have, again, I got to look at the schedule.
Yeah, see, it's way too early.
Yeah, that's.
We don't need to dive into this. It's March, dude. No. I was just pointing this out because, well, it's college football.
Sure.
Washington State, 8.5.
I'm inclined just to take the over on that because I feel like every year now we underrate Washington State.
Who's their quarterback?
They don't have one, but they didn't have one last year either. And how did that turn out?
Well, Minshew. No, like nobody saw Minshew coming?
No. He was a transfer from Eastern Carolina.
East Carolina.
Yeah,
that's right.
The hell was that guy? He was going to go sit on the bench in Alabama and be a coach afterwards. He's going to be a GA. No one saw that coming after what happened with the quarterback situation with Helinski. I just know that under Mike Leach, they've built a real program there, and we're all going to sit here and blow smoke up Washington and Oregon, and you should. Those are the two best teams in the conference, and Washington State has a UW problem, but Oregon has a Washington State problem. Washington State has beaten them, I think, 4 years in a row now, so if you're going to count Oregon as a contender, I put Washington State right there. I have faith in Mike Leach.
Well, my.
And you want to guess Oregon's?
9.5.
9.5.
Oh, they look at that.
9.5.
There's no reason, at least on paper, that Oregon should not be a 10-win team. The schedule is a little hard. I know Oregon, I've actually looked at Oregon's schedule a bunch. And, you know, they play a neutral site game, I guess, down in Dallas against Auburn. And a lot of their tougher games are on the road. So that's the only thing that gives you pause about Oregon. But you know, you hired a hammer defensive coordinator. You bring back supposedly the number one pick in the draft next year in Justin Herbert. You bring back basically your entire offense and the vast majority of your defense. You got another good recruiting class coming in. There just isn't any excuses for Oregon to not be a Pac-12 title contending team and to be 10 plus wins.
When, what was I going to say? Forget that. While we're talking about odds, would you bet on Tiger Woods to win another major?
In his career or this year?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. His career. Yeah. At any point.
At any point? No, I'd probably, if I had to.
You don't think he will?
I think there's a chance. I've always said this about majors in golf. They're just way harder than we act like it's just a foregone conclusion that you're going to win a major. Like, look at all the guys that you know, the Ricky Fowlers of the world or before Dustin Johnson broke through. And there's some guys you can go out and play a phenomenal 3-4 rounds of golf and just someone plays slightly better than you, or the, you know, the gods give you an ill-fated breeze or a kick. There's a chance he wins another one, but if you're going to say, you know, yes or no, that's what I have to bet on, I'll always bet on no.
Okay, so I'm going to give you odds.
Okay.
So the odds on him winning a 15th major at any point, to bet on him not winning, you have to risk $300 and they will pay you $100.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not, so that's not great.
On him not winning.
Yeah,
so
I
got
to bet $300 to win $100.
Yeah.
No.
That's right. But you think he won't win one because it's so hard. Well, yeah. Throw $300 down, you'll win $100. To bet on him winning, a $100 wager will net you $225.
So if
so
you
a little
me,
over
if,
2 to
if
1.
If you're going to give me those odds, I think I would probably bet on him winning one then. Just because that there's not a whole lot of upside to betting $300 to win only $100.
So he's 43 years old.
Yep.
He turns 44 in December. The oldest major winner in modern times is Jack Nicklaus, who was 46. But if you look through the major champions, Ray Floyd, Hale Irwin, Lee Trevino, they all won majors at an older age than Tiger is now.
Yeah.
So I would bet on him winning another major. I think he is really close. As long as he can stay healthy. He had that neck issue last week, but
and that's all I know is that he
took a 7 today on 17, but
his body has failed him. And he can go through a lot of different therapies, and that guy probably has the best doctors and you know, vitamin S that you can be on. I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff, but when your body starts breaking down, it's really hard to get it to go back to where it was.
He's just playing. He's playing well enough. To me, it's all about his putting. You know, he doesn't putt like he used to, but if he gets hot for a week with a putter, he will definitely win. He's already top. I mean, he's back to being one of the top 10, 15 players in the world.
Sure.
And so, I would bet on him winning one.
But I just love that we're getting this text that rolls in. There's no way in hell Tiger doesn't win another major in his career. Why? Why is there no way in hell?
Because he's Tiger Woods, bro.
That's what we're going on because he did it. Bro. He did it before.
Me.
Damn right.
That guy's one bad swing away from blowing out a disc in his back or neck and never playing golf again, or a knee blowing out. You're talking about a guy that's 43 years old, and how many surgeries has he gone through? And if it was any other sport, no one would be like, well, he'll just going to stay healthy from here on out. He will battle injuries the rest of his career. So you're going to have to say that he is going to have to find the window where he's playing the best golf in the world. And it's going to have to coincide with his 40 plus year old body not breaking down over 4 rounds. It just, there's in no way is that a gimme or a layup that guy wins another major, that anyone wins another major.
I'll bet on him. The death of the American 7-footer in the NBA. Now, this was a story in the Bleacher Report. How many Americans... Now, okay, so when we say 7-footer, oftentimes you're talking about being measured with shoesies.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is that you really have to be 7'1". Like when Landon was in here earlier, he was talking about that, where you if you're measured shoe off, that's what you really are. So when you hear when a guy's listed 7'1", that's a legit 7-footer. Many guys who are listed at 7 feet are not 7 feet.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Are you following?
I am following your logic.
So to be a true 7-footer, you need to be listed 7'1" or north of that.
Yeah.
So Bleacher Report did a deal and they asked how many Americans 7'1", listed 7'1", or taller, so true 7-footers, have played in the NBA in the last 10 years? Americans.
I don't know. Give me 10.
Four.
Who we got? Who's the...
Well, think about it.
I'm trying to think of who's the 7-foot Americans that have...
Well, I'll give you three, and then I'll let you figure out the fourth.
Well, it's funny, because all the 7-footers I'm thinking of are all...
That's right.
Non-Americans.
Roy Hibbert. The kid with the Knicks, Mitchell Robinson.
Bynum?
Nope. Luke Kornet. I don't even know who that is. I think he's with the Knicks.
Is that the kid from Georgia Tech?
Vanderbilt.
I thought he was foreign watching that Knicks game.
Yeah, I think he played at Vanderbilt, but I'm not sure. And then the fourth is Myers Leonard.
Oh, the great Myers Leonard.
That's it. Only four the last 10 years. So what they're saying is 7-footers really don't fit into the pace and space era of basketball. They just don't fit that well. Myers Leonard does because he can space the floor.
Well, and he's athletic. And I'm not saying that, I mean, everyone that plays in the NBA is athletic, but a lot of the traditional, like the Greg Kites and the Chris Dudleys of the world, no offense to them, but they're not the most athletic guys in the world. Myers Leonard doesn't look like a traditional back-to-the-basket 7-foot rim protector, and he doesn't move like one.
So if you're 6'3", according to the Bleacher Report article, if you're 6'3 or taller, you're in the top 5% of the tallest people in the U.S.
Makes sense.
Estimations are there are fewer than 100 7-footers between the ages of 20 and 40 in the U.S. right now. So there's not that many guys. Of those, generally speaking, they have about a 17% chance of playing in the NBA traditionally. So 17%, you know, you're 7 feet in the U.S.
You're going to get a crack.
Yeah, it's 17% chance, which is way better than a guy 6'8".
Well, we were talking about this. We were watching the Cal play in the Pac-12 tournament, and they've got a gangly 7-foot white guy who just can't move at all. It looks like he's going to fall apart at any moment. And I joked, and I was like, dude, if you were 7-foot, like in your athleticism, like, are you playing in you know, in the NBA? And you're like, yeah. I mean, you see guys like that, and they get cracks, and that's the guy that I'm talking about that just looks like he has no coordination at all, but he's 7 feet tall. Mark Eaton.
Since 2008, 25 are actual 7-footers since 2008.
So they're saying like the Dwight Howards of the world, the Zach Collins, aren't real 7-footers. I don't even think Dwight Howard was listed at 7 feet. He was a 6'10", 6'11 guy.
So of those 25 guys, only four made the NBA, including Myers Leonard. Now, what they're saying, why am I telling you all this? The point is the American 7-footer is just flat out going away.
Yeah.
There were 47 other guys who played Division I basketball that tall but didn't make the NBA, meaning you are now looking at about a 7 or 8% NBA, a 7 or 8% rate of being a legit 7-footer in America and making the NBA. It used to be 17%. It is now down to 8%.
So people are saying that the
odds have been cut in half.
Like the JaVale McGee's, the Cody Zellers, Carl Anthony Towns, saying none of those are legit 7-footers, huh?
Nope. Because they list them. Everybody wants to be called 7 feet.
Yeah.
But true 7-footers, they don't qualify. There's only been four last 10 years.
And you hear the opposite about like Kevin Garnett, and you always heard this about Kevin Durant, that they are 7 feet, but they don't want it. Like the guys that play away from the bucket don't want to be listed as 7 feet.
See, to me, Kevin Durant is not 7 feet.
See, but that's what you always hear, is that he's 7 feet, but he certainly has the wingspan of it.
So there have been a lot of great American 7-footers over the years. You know, you obviously Wilt and Ralph Sampson. Uh-huh. And
Kareem,
Shaq.
Yep.
But that is they're going away, man.
The dying breed. Embiid, although he's not American, right?
Embiid, no.
Was he born in like the Bahamas?
Something like that.
Yeah, he's not American. I'm just, in general, there's not many back to the basket centers.
Oh, not at all. That's the whole point. That's the point. Yeah, the point is that it's pace and space, and they don't care about 7 feet anymore.
No.
And as Landon was talking about in here, doesn't matter how tall your head, where your head goes. It matters how high you can reach.
Yeah, they want the athletic freaks.
But you got to be able to guard. I mean, you know, you just can't be flat-footed. You got to be able to guard so many guys. They pull you out. It's just, well, there's just no place for that guy.
Well, it's not. It used to be strange to see 7 feet, 7-footers, or even just just let's say bigs in general out at the arc, and now it's odd to see one that can't, right? Like Marc Gasol all of a sudden just a couple years back was like, well, I'm going to start shooting the three. Or Myers Leonard, right? He didn't come into the Blazers being a guy that shot the three ball. And then over a couple off seasons, they're like, look, this is the way the NBA is going. Zach Collins being able to step out. If you're 7 feet now, there's very few that it's like, well, just go park it back underneath the basket. Cantor's one of those guys. Cantor doesn't shoot the three. He's a traditional, he's an athletic one, but he's a under the bucket, back to the basket kind of guy.
So if you want to read that article, it's from Bleacher Report, and it's called "The Air Up There Is Changing" about the American 7-footer. But hey, Myers Leonard.
Well, yeah. Look, you can make fun of Myers Leonard all you want. Myers Leonard has had a...
He's a freak, dude.
He is a freak. He is an athletic freak. He's a specimen. And he's played, what, 6 years in the NBA? And he'll play another six. It's just weird. Like, we call that guy a failure. We call that guy a bust.
I don't.
Myers Leonard is a...
I've never been hard on Myers Leonard. I've always defended Myers Leonard.
It's just he's just a real punching bag, and people can make fun of him.
Fans.
That guy will play 10-plus years in the NBA, and there will be a place for him because... Again, he's 7 feet tall and he's athletic.
His big thing is he just doesn't have...
There's an awareness thing.
He does not have the basketball IQ and instincts that you want him to have, and it's maddening.
Yeah, because you look at Myers Leonard, like if you could create an NBA player in a lab...
It's him.
Yeah, it's like an NBA 2K video game. You pull out Myers Leonard. The guy is a physical freak, but you're right.
It's awareness, it's instincts, it's IQ.
It's just not there. It's not all there. Where you see other guys in the NBA that have been successful, and it looks like they've got spare part bodies, right? You throw it together, and you're like, how is that?
Yeah.
How is that successful in the NBA? And it's for that very reason that the guy's smart, and he's a crafty guy and knows how to play the game.
All right, coming up next on Friday Randoms, name any Heisman Trophy candidate west of the Rockies.
I got one.
Yep. Name another.
I got one. I got one.
That'll be next on The Fan.
Lady James, it's wicked awesome.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So what's up with the Blazers losing right now? They're losing, dude.
Julius Randle's what's up.
Who?
Julius Randle.
Is he torching him?
21 points.
He's actually turned out to be pretty good there. It's like
all of those were in the first quarter.
Like jeez.
The Lakers have, like, you look at who they've ditched because, you know, they have a roster full of a bunch of chumps now and LeBron James. But they got rid of Russell, who's out in Brooklyn, made an all-star team. Julius Randle has been really good down in New Orleans. Lou Williams, sixth man of the year, tearing it up down in the other side of L.A.
Makes you think that the Lakers are the problem.
Could be.
Yeah, the Blazers are down too, but it's, you know, it's still the first half.
It's like, yeah.
But they're not playing any defense.
Yeah, it's New Orleans. They're sleepwalking through it.
Okay, so name any Heisman candidate west of the Rockies.
Well, the first one that comes to mind, obviously, is Justin Herbert.
That is correct.
And then...
Well, there are three. I'll tell you right now, I was looking at the list. There are three.
Okay, well, I'll go with... So I can't think of anyone that's you know, in the Mountain West. So I'm just going to go off of the Pac-12 and say that you've got Herbert. I'm going to say an outside shot that maybe Jacob Eason... The quarterback at UW?
Not on the list.
Okay, I just think if he's the starter and they have a big year.
Is he their starter for
yeah,
sure?
Well, I don't know about for sure, but I mean, you'll see in spring. But by all accounts, that guy's the real deal. They think he's going to be a one-and-done guy at UW and go to the NFL draft. Costello, quarterback at Stanford?
He's on there.
Is Tate, the quarterback at Arizona, maybe?
No.
He had a lot of hype going into the year before. And then maybe... What is it? Eno Benjamin, the running back from Arizona State?
Nope. The other guy is JT Daniels from USC.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. So I was looking at the Heisman odds, and so Trevor Lawrence is the favorite. 3.5-1.
Of course.
Clemson.
And then Tua, I'm sure, is right behind him.
Tua's 5-1, and Jalen Hurts is 6.5-1.
Maybe the who's the quarterback at Ohio State that they're all... ranting and raving about.
Is that Fields?
That's Fields. Justin Fields, the transfer from Georgia.
And then you got Fromm at Georgia. You've got Kelly Bryant is now at Missouri. He's on here.
Really?
Yeah. Justin Herbert, of course. And then Who's Patterson.
Shea Patterson, Shea quarterback Patterson's. At Michigan. Maybe the receiver for Alabama, Judy?
Is he's he on there? Not
on there. No. I mean, receivers, it's so hard to win. It's either you're basically just looking at the best quarterbacks, best running backs in the country. I mean, because the last time a receiver won it, I mean, God, how far back do you have to go to find a receiver? I'm trying to think. Like, I know, like, Rocket Ishmael and Desmond Howard. I mean, it's receivers don't win because if the receiver has a big year, well, the quarterback has had a bigger one. So it's a quarterback running back award, basically.
Pretty much. Although, you know, I was thinking about this because of Herbert. You know, Oregon, so I know, obviously, Dylan Mitchell's gone, but other than that, his entire offense is back.
Pretty much.
The last wideout was Desmond Howard in 1991.
Yeah, and if you wanted to say, Charles Woodson, but he was a DB and then played some...
He was a punt returner.
Yeah, he's a punt returner. He was a spot guy. So you got to go all the way back to Desmond Howard, huh?
Yep, and the last running back was 2009, Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I mean...
all QBs.
I mean, it's...
Oh, no, that's wrong. Sorry, Derrick Henry was 2015.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it goes to the best running back, best quarterback on the best team.
So Herbert's like 30-1.
Mm-hmm.
While the other guys I told you, you know, Hurts, Lawrence, Tua, they're all under 7-1, you know.
Sure.
So Herbert's a long shot. It's interesting because they'll average 40 points a game.
Yeah.
But he only has, if you look at his career, he only has 5 games where he's thrown for over 300 yards.
Okay.
And they want to run the ball, you know. They want to run. So I don't know if he's a good bet to just put up eye popping numbers that you need to be a long shot winner of the Heisman. If they have a good year,
they need to be undefeated. They need to be in the college football playoff.
Well, he needs big moments in the big games.
Yes, but his I don't think his numbers are going to be what Tua and what Lawrence are going to put up.
Well, Hurts is going to put up big numbers at Oklahoma.
Yeah,
dude.
There's just that he's
Oklahoma might get their third straight Heisman.
Yeah, he's going to need a much bigger year than anything he's had. And you're right. They're going to have to be either an undefeated or a one-loss team going into the college football playoff with big moments, you know, slaying Stanford or USC or UW. On the road. He's going to have one of those 5-touchdown type performances.
All right, that's it for Friday Randoms. We move on to the club hour, Friday Club. Woo-hoo. You ready?
No.
You bringing the heat?
Well, it's actually 6, so the club should be starting right now.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's get out of here. The club next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.